morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, you're going to follow along. We'll be in the book of Luke, chapter 9 this morning. We're going to spend all of our time there together. Luke, chapter 9. And as you're turning there, I'd like to just welcome everyone who's here this morning. As always, we have several visitors with us. We're thankful that you're here. We are thankful that all of our members are here and that we can worship God together. And we could study His Word this morning for just a little bit. Two corrections to the bulletin that I need to make this morning. One is my fault, and one is no one's fault but a baby, so we'll blame it on a baby. But that is, I print the bulletins on Friday. It's the last thing I do before I go home, waiting for any last-minute announcements. And last night, Cooper, baby Cooper, decided to go home from the NICU. And so in the bulletin it says he's still in the hospital, but he went home last night. So we're going to blame that error on him and on Josh and Whitney. But we're glad that they can be home together and start that life together. The second mistake is my fault. And that is, I have that little section on the back of the bulletin called Did You Know? And I like to just put little things in there as we're studying this year of learning God's way and just different things about God's Word or different things about our Bibles. And you'll notice that this week there is something in there about a seal from the prophet Isaiah. And I said that Isaiah lived around 2700 B.C. He lived about 2700 years ago. That's only 700 B.C. So that was just my brain typing something that was not right. And so I just wanted to correct that as well. I had a best friend in college. He's one of the few I keep in touch with. He was in my wedding and just a dear, dear friend of mine. But he spent 4 years in the Marines. And I remember him one night as we were talking about different things. He started relating the armed forces. And it doesn't matter if you're Marines or Army, Navy, whatever it is. He says he started relating it to the idea of what it means to be a Christian. And he says, you know, in today's world, we haven't seen a draft, but in today's world, you sign up. You volunteer to give your life to one of these organizations, and really you're giving it to your country, to serve your country. And he says, you don't fully understand what you're signing up for until you're in the thick of it. He says, but when I signed my name on that dotted line, he goes, I had no idea that the next several weeks and several months would be tearing me down to build me back up into something new. He says, and I really had no idea. He goes, it was in the back of my mind, but you really have no say in what goes on in your life for however many years you sign up for. For him, it was 4 years. He says, when they tell you, you go here, you say, yes, sir. When they tell you, here's what we need you to do, you say, yes, sir. And he says, there's very few people, but it does happen. We're in the middle of the hardest part, which is the training and the boot camp. He says a lot of people decide this is not good enough for them, and they give up. And they drop out. He says, and even people after the boot camp, when they realize just how difficult this is going to be, there's not an easy day in the armed forces, he said. There are easier days than some, but he says there's not an easy day in the armed forces. And he says there's some people that just can't take it. And they end up going home. He says it made him think about who he was as a Christian. That it's the same thing Jesus has asked us to do. That it's a volunteer basis. We volunteer to give our lives to Jesus. And remember, we started with this verse 2 weeks ago now. Bert preached last week for us. But 2 weeks ago, we started by looking at this verse in the book of Luke chapter 9, where he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And we looked at how Jesus is asking us to volunteer to follow him. We have to desire. And he calls us to be disciples to him, but it's our choice. But every day after that, when we decide to give our lives to Jesus, to come after Him, it's going to be difficult. And we looked at how there's not an easy day. There might be easier days, but there's not an easy day. Because every day He asks us, if we're going to follow Him, to deny it ourselves. To humble ourselves. To take up our cross daily. and to truly follow Him. We could summarize that one verse in all last 2 weeks ago's lesson by just saying that as a call to discipleship, anyone can follow Jesus if they are willing to deny themselves, die daily, and truly follow Jesus. And remember, that's what we looked about in that verse a couple weeks ago. Now, I was going to make this a four-part series, and this was going to last us through the month of March. But we wanted to hear from Bert about Ecuador, and that was just a fantastic lesson. And then I said, so I can squeeze the last three lessons into two. I can do that no problem. Well, then Brooke's dad is getting in town this week, and the elders have given him permission to speak to us next Sunday. So I said my four sermons have been knocked down to two. And so we're going to do what plan for three sermons and one sermon today. But don't worry, it's not going to be the time of three sermons. Okay, I understand. But we're going to look at some things this morning and just make this a two-part sermon. But what we see is that anyone can follow Jesus. But what we also see is that when we follow Jesus, there are some things that you and I need to get over. There are some things that you and I need to understand about what it truly means to follow Jesus and just how difficult this call to discipleship really is, to what it really means to deny ourselves, to have that daily death that we talked about, to pick up our cross daily, to die with Him every day, to carry our cross, and what it really means to follow Jesus. There's three examples at the end of this chapter, Luke chapter 9, that I want to share with you this morning. In Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57, some of your versions might have some little headings above some sections of your Bible. And this one in my Bible says the cost of discipleship. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 23, Jesus called us to be a disciple. Now He's going to tell us what it's going to cost us. In verse 57, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Him, 'Lord, I will follow You wherever You go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head.' And then He said to another, 'Follow Me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow You, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Here we have three different people, all asked or all willing to follow Jesus. And I think as we go through these three different stages of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to see yourself in one or multiple of these scenarios. At least I know I did as I was looking at some of these. And we're going to see what it truly costs to follow Jesus, to take up our cross, and to follow Him. I want you to notice again what the first one said. It says, as it happened as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to Him, "Lord, I will follow You wherever You go." How many times have we said that to Jesus? That when He asked us to take up our cross, and we said, "Lord, I will go wherever You need me to go." That's what this man is saying. As they journeyed on this road, this man sees Jesus. He says, "Lord, I will follow You wherever You go." What a great explanation to say to Jesus. I'm going to just say this to You right now, Jesus. Wherever You need me to go, You tell me where and I'll go. You tell me to jump and I'll ask You how high. I'm here to follow You, Jesus, wherever You need me. And Jesus, seeing this enthusiasm, was going to remind him just of one simple thing real quick. He says, you know what? The foxes, they've got holes to go into at night. They get nice and warm down there. They have their home. They get to go home. The birds of the air, guess what? They get to go home to their nest. They've got somewhere to sleep. They've got somewhere to call home. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Now, we don't have an indication of what the man's response was to what Jesus says, but the way Luke writes it, it's almost like the man decided, well, I'll go with you wherever, but except there. You know what, Jesus? On second thought, I know I just said, I'm going to go with you, I'll follow you wherever you need me. But now that you mention it, I don't know if I'm willing to do that. If the foxes and the birds, they have a place, but even the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, I don't know if I'm willing to really follow Jesus that way. And Jesus reminds this man, he's homeless. I don't have a pillow to lay my head on. Animals have better places to sleep than I do. And you can hear what Jesus is really trying to tell this man. If you really want to follow me, and you will go wherever you go, you're going to be homeless. You're going to be wandering. You will be exposed to the elements. You don't know when your next meal is going to be. This is going to be a difficult way. Do you still want to follow me? And the connotation that's left there, as Luke writes it, is the man's response might have been something like, well, I'll follow you wherever, but I don't know about that. I wonder how many times we've said something similar. That as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, we said, I will do whatever Jesus wants me to go. I will go wherever He wants me to go because I'm a follower, I'm a Christian, and we're excited and we're zealous to do things for Jesus. Well, let me ask you a question. When Jesus says that if anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me, where are you, where am I willing to take my cross? Now, I'm not talking about a literal cross that we need to carry down the street. But if we're going to follow the Jesus, and we're going to wear the name of Jesus, and we're going to take that cross with us, where are we willing to take that cross? Where are we willing to go for Jesus? Would you take your cross into your home? Will you serve Jesus in your home? You know, it's real easy to... It's kind of one of those catch-22s. Some people, depending on who we are, we like to look good in front of people, but at home we might be something completely different. Or we might try really hard at home, but when we're out with friends and in society, we're someone completely different. Different personalities have different outcomes. But are we willing to take our cross and die daily in our home? That when Jesus says, I need you in your home following me, are we willing to be submissive instead of standing up for our rights? Are we willing to serve instead of just sitting down? Are we willing to teach God's way to our children instead of staying silent? Are we willing to be patient with our spouse or our children instead of being critical? Men, are we willing to be the spiritual leaders instead of just being passive about what happens in our homes? If Jesus were to ask us, take your cross into your home, are we willing to do that? What if Jesus were to say, take your cross to work? Can we say, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you want me to go? If He says, take your cross into work. I think several people nowadays, just because of the society we live in, we don't want to offend anybody, we leave our cross in the car when we go to work. I'll follow you wherever you want me to go, Jesus, but I can't do it at work. I can't do that around friends. I'll do anything to get ahead in my job. Maybe we'll stay silent. Maybe we'll even go along with coworkers when they tell crude jokes or use language we know that I shouldn't be using. I pray before every meal except at work. Maybe you'll say, my spiritual life is the most important thing to me, but the people at work know that? There's a story I read the other day, and it was kind of a sad tale about the church, but also the people that went there. They were having an Invite a Friend Sunday, and the church was a larger church, much larger than we have here. And they were having an Invite a Friend Sunday, and they encouraged people to go into their workplace and invite someone to church. And so this one lady says, I have this one really good friend. She's one of my best friends at work, and I really want her to come to this Invite a Friend Sunday. And so she has a pamphlet that they were handing out to invite people, and she walks up to her friend at church. She was really nervous because she never talked about spiritual things at work, because that's a big no-no in our society today. And she finally worked up enough courage to go to her friend, and she said, we're having this special Sunday at church this coming week, and I really want you to be there. And she handed her the pamphlet, and her friend started laughing, and her friend pulled out the same pamphlet from her purse, and she says, I was going to invite you to church as well this Sunday. They went to the same church and never knew it. Handed each other the same pamphlet. And it's because at work, they never talked about it. Now, I also said that's probably a testament to what's going on at that church when they didn't know each other either. But the illustration of what's happening at work is so true in many cultures, or many our society today. Now, what if Jesus were to say, take your cross with you? I'll follow you wherever, Jesus, but I can't take my cross there. What if Jesus were to say, you know what, take up your cross, take it to the ball field. My eyes have been opened to parents at the ball field these last couple weeks. Landon's playing baseball this year, and Gwen just gave that talk. That code of conduct is needed, I'm telling you that. I have seen some things already, and we've only had 3 practices, so I can't wait till games. If Jesus were to say, follow me, take your cross to the ball field, how many of us would be willing to do that? Something about sports turns us into a different person. I understand, maybe it's the heat of the competition. But when Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me, he's talking even about the ball fields. What about our neighborhoods? What about when we're in the car all alone on the way to and from work? Would you take your cross there? What if God points to a place and we say, I will follow you wherever you go. And God points somewhere and he says, there, that's where I want you. Would we follow? It might be somewhere like our home. God says, I need you in this home. I need you at this ball field. I need you at work to carry your cross, to follow me. But maybe, just maybe, as we were reminded about last week, what if God says, I want you in Ecuador, Mexico, Germany, Africa, India, the Philippines. What about if I say, I will follow you wherever you go, what if God pointed at Athens? What if God was standing here right now and he looked out that door and said, I need you out there? Would we be willing to go? Or would we say, I'll follow you wherever, except there? Sadly, so many people have taken that mindset of what you see in that bottom box on that screen. And we've accepted a doctrine that says, I will follow Jesus wherever he needs me to go as long as I'm comfortable with it. But what Jesus needs from us are Christians, people who have decided to deny ourselves. It's not about you and I. Take up our cross daily and go. Follow him. He needs us in our community, he needs us in our schools, he needs us in this church, and he needs us in our homes to take up our cross daily and go wherever he needs us to go. That might include going somewhere that would make us feel a little uncomfortable. It might mean that we have to go somewhere that we're not used to going, with people that might look different than us and act different than us. But when we say, I will go with you wherever you go, Jesus was reminding this man here in those first few verses, it's going to be difficult. Be careful what you ask for. Because I believe if we really open our eyes and look, we could find God pointing us places to say, there. I want you to go there. We have to be willing to go. Someone once said, it's much easier to talk about following Jesus when you're making a general statement without any specific commitments. I love that. Anyone can say, I'll follow Jesus, but when Jesus starts telling us exactly where he wants us to go, well, then it gets a little more difficult. But by following Jesus, we're saying, I will carry my cross and I will follow you wherever you need me. Yes, it might be uncomfortable. Yes, it might be embarrassing. But that's what following Jesus is. Denying myself and following. But notice what happens in the next two verses. In verse 59, it says, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first then go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Just think about this for a minute. How awesome would it be if you're just minding your own business one day and Jesus walks up to you and he looks at you and says, follow me. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Before, the first example was someone saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. This one, Jesus found him. He says, you, I want you, follow me. He did the same thing to Matthew in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew left everything. He did the same thing to Peter, Andrew, James, and John as they were helping as they were working on the seas and they were mending their nets, and it says they immediately left everything and followed him. But this man, when Jesus looks at him and says, follow me, he says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. See, this is the problem with this man. He didn't mind following Jesus, it just had to be on his timetable. Lord, I will follow you, but there's one problem. There's one thing that he threw in. Because really, let's be honest, it sounds like a reasonable request. Jesus, I want to follow you, but my dad just died. I got to bury him. But again, Jesus is making a point. It wasn't about that his father just died. I tend to think Jesus is a reasonable person. Don't you? A compassionate person. But what this man's mindset was notice that word that is thrown in there again when Jesus says, follow me. Lord, first, his priorities, first, were not on Jesus. That is, when Jesus asks us to take up our cross, he's not just saying, take up your cross, but he's saying, and what we need to say is, whenever you need me, I'm there. But this man was saying, first, Lord, first let me go bury my father. This man had placed the priority of following Jesus after something else that was more important to him. And how many times have we told Jesus something like that? I will follow you whenever you need me, except right now. I'll follow you, Jesus, but right now is a little difficult. I've got family problems. I've got job problems. I've got financial problems. I will follow you, Jesus. I just can't do it right now. And what we see is Jesus did not want a half-hearted relationship. Jesus wanted the relationship. He wanted us, when we're really going to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, to be fully committed to Jesus. Not when it's convenient for us to do so, but whenever. Are you and I willing to take up our cross whenever? Have a wholehearted commitment to him? I can't tell you how many times I've heard something. Maybe you have too. I'll follow Jesus when I'm older. Maybe I'm in high school right now or college and I've got different things going on. When I'm older, I'll follow Jesus. I'll have more time. When I graduate, I'll have that time to really devote myself to following Jesus. I'll do it then. When I find my job, and when I realize, when I find out where I'm going to be, and I kind of get settled in after college, that's when I'll follow Jesus. When I get married, it will be a little bit more important then, because I'll have a wife I need to take care of. That's when I'll follow Jesus. Or when I start having kids, for the same reasons, it'll be important to teach them about. That's when I'll really start following Jesus. Or you know what? When I have grandkids, that's when I'll follow. It'll be important for my grandkids to see me following Jesus. That's when I'll follow Jesus. And before you know it, we've wasted our whole lives away by saying, later. Later. It's just like the old saying, there's never a good time to have kids. When we're young, we say we're going to wait this many years because we're going to get financially ready. We're going to get ready as a couple. We're going to, you know, and you start listing all the reasons why we're going to wait to have kids. And I remember someone said, you know, there's never a good time to have kids. They're always just going to suck the money right out of your pocket. You're never going to be mentally prepared. Someone told me I was going to be tired when I had kids. I said, yeah, I've heard that, you know, my whole life. You're tired when you have kids. No one can prepare you for the tiredness of having kids. There's just never a good time to have kids. But you know what? Once you have them, man, they're a blessing, aren't they? Maybe in your mind you're saying, now's not a good time to be following Jesus. Because there's some things I have to do first. I have to graduate, or I have to get my life in order. I got to find a job. I got to find a wife when I have kids. Whatever it is, we say, now's not the time. But can I tell you something? When you finally decide to make that decision to follow Jesus, it's such a blessing, isn't it? When Jesus says, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him, He says, take up your cross daily. In other words, it's a continual thing. He's saying, I need you every day. I need you now. I need you whenever. I need that relationship. There is no first before Jesus. There is Jesus. You know, I have this saying I've been telling Brooke for the last couple weeks. And maybe if you've ever been on a diet or an exercise program or anything like that, you have a similar experience where you kind of fall off the wagon there for a little bit. And you say, tomorrow we're going to get back on track. Brooke and I took a day trip to Franklin last weekend. And there's some really good food up there. And I'm supposed to be eating a certain way, but I didn't in Franklin, and I kept saying tomorrow, or here's my famous, Monday. Monday's always a good day to get back on track. Monday, we're going to get back on track. Guess what happened Monday? Well, now it's tomorrow. Last Monday became this Monday. The problem is we tell ourselves that with Jesus. I'm going to get back on track. This Sunday, I'm going to start going back to services. Tomorrow, I'm gonna be better for Jesus. When this happens, fill in the blank, I'll be better. I'm going to get back on track. And what Jesus is saying is, I need you now. There is no first, let me go bury my father. He says, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. That is, the first priority should be teaching the kingdom of God. There can be no, I will follow Jesus, but first. There has to be, I will take up my cross and follow. And lastly, what he says there in those last two verses, in Luke chapter 9, verse 61. It says, another man also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's very similar to the one right before, but just a little different. Because what happens here when this man says, Lord, I will follow you, but first, you still have that idea of, but first, I got to go do something back home. Except what he wanted was he wanted something. He says, I got to go say goodbye to those in my house. Again, reasonable request, right? Jesus, I'm going to go with you, but I got to at least go say bye to mom and dad. Bye to my wife, whoever is in his house. I have to say bye to them. They have to know where I'm going. A lot of times we read that verse and say, man, Jesus is a little harsh, isn't he? He won't even let them say bye to mom and dad. That's not what Jesus is saying here. See, in this day and age, this culture, if someone was going to leave home, whether it was for some type of schooling or to follow a rabbi or whatever it was, they would have a going-away party. And it wasn't a going-away party like you and I might have at 5 o'clock on a Saturday night, and it's a potluck. These parties would last days, weeks, maybe even a month. It was a festival. And what this person wanted, he says, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but first, I feel like I'm entitled. I know that's kind of a buzzword nowadays, right? I feel like I'm entitled to going home. Let people come say goodbye. Have this festival in my honor. He says, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. But first, I want this. And when Jesus asks us to take up our cross, he's not just saying wherever and whenever. He's saying whatever it takes. It might mean that if we follow Jesus and we take up our cross, it might mean we have to give something up. In this man's case, it was recognition. It was his going away party, which was a fanfare. It was a festival. It was exciting. It was an honor to go and follow a rabbi. And he deserved and was entitled to having his going away festival. And he says, first, let me go back to my household and say goodbye to them. Have this festival. And Jesus tells him, I need whatever it takes. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, he's saying all these farmers, as they're plowing their fields, they put their hand to the plow, they start the work. When they start looking backwards, guess what's going to happen to those straight lines? And they start getting crooked. And he says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looks back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, if you've put your hand to the plow, if you've made this decision to follow Jesus, you better do whatever it takes to stay on track. Don't get distracted. Don't look back. You do whatever it takes. I'm kind of reminded of Lot's wife. When they're fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, and they said, don't look back. I mean, do you see the imagery here? She looked back. We say, well, that's harsh. She was turned into a pillar of salt. That's a harsh just for looking back. But Jesus again says, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, what we get from this man, and I think what we get, what Jesus gets from so many of us today, is we say, I'll do whatever it takes. But there's always something for us to say, well, accept that. I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll take up my cross. I'll deny myself. I'll take up my cross. I will do whatever you need me to do. Accept some of those difficult things he asks me to do. I wonder, when we say, I'll give Jesus my everything, when we've decided to follow Jesus, we say, everything I am belongs to Jesus. Everything I am is now His. What if Jesus were to look at different parts of our lives and say, well, what about this part? Would you give that up for me? What if Jesus were to come, just like maybe he was asking this man, he were to say, would you give up your reputation? That's difficult. Kind of reminds me of Nicodemus coming in the middle of the night because he didn't want to be seen by all the Jewish leaders. What if Jesus were to look at us and say, would you give up your reputation for me? What about your time? We've already looked at the whenever part of this, but what about your time? Would you do it for me? What about your family? Would you forsake, as we've looked at in a couple weeks ago, would you forsake your brothers and your sisters and your spouse and your children and your mother and your father for me? What about your effort? Would we really do whatever it takes to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus? We ask ourselves, do I really have to come back Sunday night and Wednesday night? Do I really have to go to the Bible classes? Do I really have to serve so-and-so? Do I really have to fill in the blank? Do I really have to do this? What about our entertainment choices? Am I willing to do whatever it takes there? What about our jobs that might be pulling us away from our family and our church? What about our money? What about, and fill in the blank, if Jesus were to say, if you're really willing to do whatever it takes, would you give this up? I know deep down inside all of us, there's probably something, and it's different for every single one of us. There's something that if we really had to think about it, would most likely hold us back from following Jesus. And when we look at these three men and their willingness, we could praise them because they were all willing to follow Jesus. One said, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. Jesus said to the second one, follow me. And he says, I will follow you, but first. The third one, I will follow you, Jesus, but again, but first. And we could praise all three of them for saying they had a heart that wanted to follow Jesus. The problem is, a want to follow is a very different thing from actually following. And I'm afraid that if I were one of those three men, I would probably fall right in line with the three of them. That there would be something along the lines. I don't know what it would be. I don't know if it would be something. I don't know if it would be my time. I don't know if it would be where He's pointing me to go. I don't know. But I feel like there would be something where Jesus would have to tell me, Kevin, if you're really going to follow me, give it up. Go there. That's a difficult decision for people to make. But when we desire to follow Jesus, it makes it worth it. And that's why he would say in verse 23, if anyone desires to come after me, it makes giving up whatever it takes a whole lot easier because we desire Jesus. It makes giving up our time a whole lot easier because we desire Jesus. It makes going places that might make us feel a little uncomfortable a little easier because we desire Jesus. And when we desire to follow Him the way He has asked us to follow Him, these ideas of whatever it takes, whenever, wherever, we will be willing to say, not my will, but your will be done. Are you ready to follow Jesus? I asked my friend from college that I was telling you about. I said, if the Marines were so difficult, I said, may I ask why? I said, when you came to this realization that you sign your name on the dotted line and your life is theirs, they tear you down, they build you back up into a Marine, they tell you where to go, they tell you when, they tell you how long. I even had a cousin that his family would just say, we don't know where he is. He's not allowed to tell us. Because he was in the army. I mean, your life is theirs. And so I asked him, I said, why? He just so happened to be 18 in 2001, right after 9/11. And he remembers watching it. He had just started his freshman year at college. He said that he was in the student center watching these towers come down. And as the days unfolded, and we all know how those events went, he said, I couldn't help but to have this passion inside me to go serve my country. Many of you have answered that call as well, so you understand the passion that's there. Many of you have served your country for one reason or another. And so you understand the passion of serving. And there's another word that goes along with it that we always bring up around certain holidays, and that is the sacrifice of our veterans. They sacrifice the time. They sacrifice everything else. And sometimes they sacrifice their life so that you and I could be here in this country. And my friend said, he goes, and it's then I realized that that's exactly what Jesus is asking us to do. If we desire to do so, and this sounds like a really weird desire when I put it this way, but he says, if we desire to do so, we could sacrifice our lives for our Savior. If we just deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. It's a daily sacrifice to do His will, not ours. Are you ready to make that sacrifice? Jesus did. Jesus did a long time ago. We already remembered that sacrifice with the emblems to my right. And today, you can make your sacrifice by coming forward, and we have waters ready for you to be baptized so that you could put to death that old self. You could take up your cross today and you could start following Him. You can have the sins washed away and say, today I will start living for Jesus. Today I will not let anything get in my way of truly following Him. I will go wherever He needs me to go. I will do it now because tomorrow may never come. And I will do whatever it takes. If you need to make that decision, do not wait. And if you're here this morning and you made that decision a long time ago, and you find yourself letting excuses like those three men, like we've all made, then now's the time to get back to Jesus and say, now, today, I will follow You. Do you want to follow Him? If you need help, if you need to be baptized, if you need prayers, come forward as we stand and as we sing.